now where we're going back to what we saw in the U.S. when black folks, after Reconstruction, were taking over governments around the country, were being shot and killed and assassinated. And we're seeing that, you know, all around the world, you know, with her death being a highlight. But it seems like the opposition in quote-unquote democratic countries are being killed off.
Well, that's something that's always been happening, Brother Davey D, and it's not new. I mean, people have been paying the price for standing up to oppression all this time, for as far back as we want to go, and until it's over, that's going to continue to be the case. So that's just something that I'm not going to say we have to get used to, but that's just something that comes with the territory.
Another story that you all have covered this year, you know, you mentioned, we were just talking about, you know, the elections and everything. Is there a third story that you want people to really pay attention to that's been on Black Agenda Report's radar?
I would, well, during the whole year, we were treated to this bombardment of things where where Amazon was supposed to be looking for a new headquarters. And what Amazon did is they extracted data and concessions from and special information, proprietary information, from state governments and local governments all over the country, in order to supposedly decide where their next company town would be. I'm calling it company town instead of headquarters because that's what it really is. You know, I mean, they said that they were going to be doing a second headquarters. And, of course, that headquarters, let's face it, it's not going to be in Queens, okay? And it's not going to be at a roadside junction in an office park in McLean, Virginia, either. The headquarters is going to be where the headquarters is going to be already, you know? So what Amazon was really looking for was another company town. And so now they got two of them. And it's, you know, what they did in the course of that, like I said, is they went to state governments and local governments. They got tax breaks, and they got vital demographic and tax information and marketing information, and they got it for free. So it was an utter scam from, you know, front to back. They would have had to pay billions of dollars for just the marketing information that they got with that, you know, scam about we're going to move our corporate headquarters. So, you know, this is, and then on top of that, Amazon came out with a set of press releases saying that they were going to beat Walmart to the punch and make their minimum wage $15 an hour. Remember that about mm-hmm. 3 months ago?
Yes.
We ran an article on Black Agenda Report about it. Well, it turns out that it's only going to be $15 an hour for what Amazon classifies as its full-time employees, which is only about 30 or 40% of the total. Another really important thing that happened in the world of labor, and labor's important because if we're lucky enough to have jobs, we spend half our waking hours, well, way more than half of our waking hours at work, is we've got a series of court decisions that have come down that says that if you get into a dispute with your employer that, you know, or really with any other big corporation, that they can obligate you to not take that dispute to court, but that's got to be settled by private arbitration wherein the company appoints the arbitrator. And you've already signed your civil rights away in that kind of a situation. That was the Murphy Oil case. And that was handed down by the Supreme Court this year in a little noted decision. So, and also by this, it means that you have lost your right to combine, and I like this word, collude, with your fellow employees in any kind of a class action against your employer. Basically, we have outlawed unions now in the United States under the table by this decision. And that happened this year. That was called the Murphy Oil case.
Yeah, that's a very, very important thing. And I think, you know, you mentioned something that I hope didn't go over people's heads. And you talked about the $15 an hour to full-time employees. One of the things that we haven't looked at, and I know you all are aware of this, is the gig economy. And by that, it's like you work, you get paid. You don't work, you don't get paid. You drive Lyft, you drive Uber, you don't do it. You know, this type of, you know, contracting type of work that now everybody's subjected to. And that is really where you wind up not being employed. So, you know, all throughout many parts of Silicon Valley, you know, yeah, we know about some of the tech folks who are walking around with million-dollar checks, but there's also a whole lot of workers who, you know, they're not really workers there. They're like self-employed. They might have 1 or 2 year contracts, that sort of thing. I think Kaiser does that with their doctors. So it's a very interesting shift now, where you do work for a company, but you don't necessarily work for the company because you're a subcontractor. That seems to have been a change that's also gone under the table. It also kind of gives the illusion that everybody's employed, but, you know, in my opinion, yeah, you got a job, but you got to have two or three just to do what one used to do. You know, you need one job to pay the rent, another job to pay for the groceries, and maybe a third job to pay for your employment, your insurance, because you don't really work for a company that, you know, now doesn't have to provide all that, including your pension.
Right, and they spend a lot of effort in helping us conceal that fact from each other. There was, regarding Uber and Lyft, there was a study around the beginning of the year that actually demonstrated that Uber and Lyft drivers make far less than the minimum wage and often pay to work. And the people who came up with that study were prevailed upon after a few weeks to change its findings. You know, so... you know, so that's really what we have in this country is we've got a situation where people are not even allowed to, you know, publish the truth about the conditions of labor and the conditions that people actually live in. And then again, if we're going to talk about stories of the year, the decline of journalism and you know, what they're doing with Mr. Assange and... you know, being about to make many kinds of regular journalism illegal is something that really, really cannot escape our notice.
Can you expound upon that a little bit? What is happening with Assange?
Well, basically, since about 2010, there has been a secret sealed indictment against him. And
Julian Assange, who, just so people know who we're talking about.
Julian Assange, the founder of WikiLeaks. Now, WikiLeaks, most of us listening to this program here are U.S. citizens, Americans, so-called. And we don't know it, but WikiLeaks has been busy all around the world, all in Africa, in Kenya and Uganda. People know who WikiLeaks is because WikiLeaks has been helping them expose, you know, atrocities by their governments over there. People in Turkey know who WikiLeaks is because WikiLeaks has been helping them find out about what their government and what corporations are doing in secret. In Russia, they know it because it does the same here. And the biggest splash that WikiLeaks made was through Chelsea Manning, when Chelsea Manning came out with a huge treasure trove of documents from the Afghan War and the Iraq War. One of them was a 10 or 11 minute video taken from a helicopter where the United States mowed down about two dozen innocent people in the middle of the street and claimed that they were fighters when obviously they were journalists. And it was Manning, Chelsea Manning, who brought this to light, and it was WikiLeaks that brought it to the public. And for this and many other offenses similar to that, Julian Assange has been made public enemy number one by many governments around the world, not the least of them the United States. And the secret indictment is thought to intend to grab Assange while he is overseas and put him in Guantanamo or some hellhole where they can torture him and extract a confession from him and make what he did illegal. The legal problem with this is that That's all reporters do. A reporter will, David, you've been a reporter from time to time, among the many other things you do, and you get hold of documents that are not yours, okay? Mm-hmm. The only way that we ever knew that the COINTELPRO operation existed was some people stole those documents out of an FBI office in Media, Pennsylvania, okay? The only way that you know that there's double dealing going on with your city information, with your city administration where you live, is that somebody will sneak some documents out to you that don't belong to them and don't belong to you, but they're public information, and you print them and you analyze them. So if we're going to criminalize that behavior, then we're just going to legalize anything that government does. And if they're going to persecute Assange, then that's what they're doing. They're going to legalize anything that a government does and make it illegal for you to know about it. So that's the problem with persecuting Assange. And that's why there are vigils for Julian Assange all around the world to, you know, help keep him free and to help keep the flow of information free so that there can be reporters of any kind, of any stripe, you know, in this country, and so that people have the right to know what's going on around them.
That's real talk. And one of the things we should note is that there was a huge number of journalists killed all around the world. That's not talked about too much here in the States. You know, we know about Khashoggi with the Washington Post, but that's the tip of the iceberg in terms of, you know, what is going on with...
Well, they worried about him because he was an insider. He was actually one of them. He just sided with the wrong Saudi prince.
Right, right.
Instead of the right one. But the most deadly place in the world for journalists right now is Mexico.
Yes.
Mexico, right next. And one of the top 10 places, two of the top 10 places are Honduras and Colombia, both of which are under the thumb of the United States, you see? So we've got plenty to answer for here, okay? The people who run this society right here, you know, who call themselves the freest country in the world, have got a lot of blood of reporters on their hands, and they're doing all they can to make it difficult for information to get out to the public. And if they're able to torture and prosecute and persecute Mr. Assange, then none of us are safe.
That is the voice of Bruce Dixon, Black Agenda Report, looking back in the year 2018. Bruce, a wealth full of information. We appreciate you. As we close out, any last words and any predictions for 2019?
No predictions from here, brother, except we hope to be around to tell some of it and to work in some of it, and I hope you are too.
There you have it. We're going to take a break on Hard Knock Radio. We'll be right back.
And now it's time for News from the Boo, the weekly segment from people inside of and around KBOO, with news from your community radio station.
Hello, folks, and welcome to News from the Boo. This is your weekly update about what's going on in and around KBOO. I'm your host this evening, Delphine Crescenzo, and tonight on this episode, I am going to be sharing with you the December station manager report, monthly report, and that will be coming up very soon. But first, I wanted to read to you the station manager letter. So if you have not received the annual report, please email me at del@kboo.org, and I will be more than happy to send you a copy. I am on vacation starting December 20th until January 2nd, so I will respond after that, but I will be happy to send you a copy. Or you can stop by the station to pick it up. You can also go online, actually, to kboo.fm and look for the 2018 annual report and read it on there. There's a lot of information about our 50th anniversary celebrations, and there is this letter. KBOO community, be proud, celebrate. KBOO turned 50 years old in 2018, and we all made that happen. For 5 decades, members, listeners, volunteers, and staff have collaborated on an experiment in independent media that has survived the test of time. We are 50, we are mighty. We are ready to sustain the KBOO mission and live up KBOO's vision. Your continued support is essential. Are you coming? KBOO is participatory. When I first came to KBOO in 2011, I thought I was here for the radio. I stayed for the community, for the opportunity to be part of a self-governing entity focused on building a just and sustainable future. Collaborating with our volunteers, board, and staff members on a daily basis is exhilarating. You need to experience it. But most importantly, you need to play an active role. KBOO is set up to really thrive when a large diversity of us participate in work with committees, attend board and annual meetings, vote in KBOO elections, help us plan for the future, and spread the word about our station. As I transition from my role as volunteer programmer to board member and now station manager, I have become aware of the tremendously small amount of resources KBOO actually dedicates to community building efforts. A lot of our members' support is directly invested in creating great radio. But does that mean that our community engagement suffers? It is my humble opinion that it is. Low participation in our elections tells me so. About 250 of the 4,500 of us voted during board elections in 2018 and 2017. The massive amount of work on the plates of staff and board members also tells me so. KBOO needs your participation. In 2019, I'm urging you to increase your involvement with your community radio. Join the annual meeting on September 14th, 2019, and vote. Apply for a midterm board appointment now. The board currently has 4 open seats. Join a committee now. Programming, engineering, personnel, governance, development, events, finance, strategic planning. You can learn more at kboo.fm/committees. You can attend a beloved community or interrupting oppressions workshop. You can learn more at kboo.fm/trainings. You can attend our volunteer appreciation party on January 5th, 2019. Also, you could volunteer to answer phones during our membership drives. Share your love of KBOO with your social media networks. You can listen to News from the Boo on Wednesdays at 5:30 p.m. Please do all of the above or a combination thereof. The harvest is bountiful, folks. Our community is amazing. But we cannot let the harvest go to waste because not enough of us are engaged in preserving the fruits of our hard labor. Share the gift of time, and if your time is limited, donate so that we can further contribute to our community building efforts. Invest in your community today. Thank you for your trust. I'm Delphine Crescenzo. This is News from the Boo. And we are going to turn now to listening to the monthly station manager report. And this is the December episode. Hello and welcome to the December episode of the Station Manager Monthly Report. I'm Delphine Crescenzo, and so I will be sharing some updates regarding things that staff and volunteers have been working on in the different departments that comprise KBOO. So here we start with Atman. Zelle is supporting board members. We've had board members onboarded, so updating new contact sheets, getting all their info in is what she's worked on, as well as scheduling a board packet review session. So this will happen in January. And so this is a session when all new board members and also new staff are invited to review the KBOO bylaws and policies, as well as other important documents that we use. As far as archiving is concerned, we were invited to go to the community archiving workshop of the Association of Moving Image Archivists that took place here in Portland. Actually, our archive was chosen as the featured collection, and we got four tapes digitized there. That was on December 1st, and about 100 tapes were processed, and we also gained a few new volunteers. We cleaned the archive room and we bought an air purificator so that Marty can breathe in the back there. As far as our website, IT and tech needs, well, we have been working on installing a new firewall. So this will be done right after the drive, so next week. And we're very excited about that because it will allow us next to be making connection between our archiving database and our new website and our website as well. We are working a lot on give guides, social media, promotion, support. It's been very heavy, actually, on the social media promotion side all throughout the month of November, December, since we are in the give guide, but also the holiday drive is happening. And the website promotion during the holiday drive is also very important. Jenka would be on sabbatical next year, starting in March to May 2019. So we're working on a plan for that. Regarding the volunteer department, we have been working really hard on planning for the holiday drive and preparation for the drive, which of course includes recruiting volunteers and training them and updating schedule. We also are coming up with a new contract for all volunteers to sign. This is going to be connected to our beloved community initiative, and we have been working on a procedure also that staff will follow in order to help hold all of our volunteers accountable around some of the new asks that will be included in the contract. And we will have monthly sessions for practicing interrupting oppression twice a month. And so I'm working on updating this workshop. Also, volunteers have supported Give Guide events that we hosted at the Jack London and also at Green Hop. As I'm recording this today, it is Thursday the 13th, and we are having a pretty awesome event at Green Hop this evening. And, of course, always support with volunteer conflict happening in that department. As far as engineering is concerned, Tommy made a big news. He is retiring, and that will happen in late March or early April. So we're making a timeline for hiring. Thinking about actually hiring an engineer and a live music and remote support person. Once the staff have shared their input, we will advertise in February and hire someone in March to train with Tommy and with Mike Johnson also. Engineering department helped setting up for the membership drive. They also helped tremendously at the live remote at the Jack London and tonight at the Green Hop. Also, it would be a live remote. Supported the firewall installation, and we also have an amazing bathroom that was remodeled, and in January the second bathroom will be remodeled. So that's regarding our facilities. The HVAC maintenance company came to the tower, so that happened. So our HVAC units are all taken care of for this time, and we can be good until our next maintenance check in 6 months. We're working on installing a phone in production 3, and in January we will be looking into a new CD link. That's an expense of up to $12,000. We are building a capital budget for that. As far as programming, we had a very, very successful Latinx Pina. That was part of the 50th anniversary special programming that we hosted all year, and we celebrated our Latinx community. It was a great turnout. Thank you so much to Holy Moly and Fernando for donating food for the event, and Yvonne Rivero and all of the amazing programmers who organize and help make that event possible. We finished and submitted the FCC quarterly report on significant treatment of community issues, consulted with Joanne Hardesty for her to return to KBOO. She was back this morning, December 13th. It was great. We completed programming planning for the holiday, created plan for the special programming during the Green Hop Day. So all day was special programming today. And filling in program needs that were left open due to Health Watch. Health Watch is done. And we're still looking for board up on Thursday and Friday morning from 9 to noon. So if any of you are interested, please contact Derek Crooks. His email is amnews@kbu.org. And with the continuation of pushing towards equity on the air, we've created a space of discussion around the evolution of KBOO's community content. We have a new program, Urban Funk, that has been created. It will replace Hard Knock Radio one of the nights that we play it. That's on the first Thursday at 7 p.m. Urban Funk has some concept of hip-hop, R&B, and social justice, but the host is a local creative person. We are working also on getting a partnership with Street Roots and also getting Bread and Roses to flesh out the collective. Working to restructure the news to a half hour and have community reports from the 5:30 to 6 p.m. hour. We're also working on the Martin Luther King Jr. Day preparation. Shahid, Rachel, and Oba are going to be at the production meeting on December 15th. As far as the free music archive, as far as our national pushing national content, we have Jessie, who is working with the Free Music Archive, and she is putting our live music on the web. And then Jenna, congratulations, Jenna got a job, and she cannot work with us any longer, and she will not be on the air. She will continue to volunteer, but she'll figure out what capacity she wants to help when she started her new job. We also need to recruit a new Slavic host because one of our hosts is leaving, and so we are connecting with the Slavic leadership coordinator at ERCO. ERCO feels like it would be too much for them to take on, but they would be happy to help us find a community member who would be able to do that. We're also recruiting new poetry show host. Tayla Aisha Ansari will do a pilot recording on Saturday, and we'll see if she is a good fit for that. We met with the Film Center staff to solidify KBOO sponsorship and programming podcast around the International Film Festival and the Real Music Festival. And then we have new podcasts, Third Angel Music, Village Vibes, Community Transitions Project School. And also we are talking to the Native American student and community center at PSU about potentially starting a recording hub in their space, something that we make recording available to all of their students. So stay tuned for more of that. Development, we are hiring a development director. That's underway. Interviews will take place this week and next week, and the new person will start early January. Jack London, we had a remote event on December 2nd with the Black United Funds from 8 p.m. to midnight, and it was awesome. 75 people attended. Today, as I say, it's Green Hop, a special program all day on the war on drugs, plus a live remote from 5 to 10 p.m. from the dispensary, and they are offering 10% off their products for anyone who donate to KBOO that day. Holiday drive planning, December 15th, 11th through the 15th. It's underway. It's happening. It will be done on Saturday. We're also planning a trip to Cuba that will happen on November 2019, and I will be announcing that in January, what are the prices and the process for people to sign up. And Mike Crenshaw will be accompanying us on that trip. We are looking for a grant writer. I will be posting the request for proposal this week. When it comes to membership, so as I said, the holiday drive is underway, is going okay. We still have quite a bit to raise. We're trying to raise $30,000. It's going to be, we're sending a thank you gift from the fall drive since we received all the items, and we got new tote bags and thank you gifts for this drive, which are really, really cool looking. The development also supported with the annual report sending, supporting with creating a postcard for the Martin Luther King remote. We are going to send you all a nice postcard about that event. We're continuing to file and work on database management efforts, and we're also developing a raffle prize strategy. Finance. McCrae is back from sabbatical. We missed her. We're now tracking the time that staff are spending on membership drives so we can have a better idea of what time is spent actually just on the drives. We received the check from CPB, $70,000, and we will get the second half of the payment in the spring. And we have fully transitioned banks, but we are going to keep our credit card with the old bank for now. Underwriting, Michael Buchanan is learning the ropes and helping in the department. He's supporting development and the drive with raffle prizes, and we will be posting the job description in January. And finally, I have been supporting with the creation of a handbook for our employees, which will be introduced to staff on January 8th at our next staff meeting. I will be on vacation December 20th to January 1st. So if Ruben, if you have any need, Ruben and Danielle will be the folks to contact in case of emergency. And this is Ruben Lawrence and Daniel Parks, and you can find their information on the KBOO website. And I am hiring a development director, grant writer, underwriting coordinator, a membership director, and engineering all in the next 3 to 4 months. So I hope you all are ready to support me in that. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast of the Station Manager Monthly Report, and I will catch you all next month. Thank you so much for listening to News from the Boo. I'm Delphine Crescenzo, and next week, I'm hoping Mike Crenshaw will be back. He has been spending some time in Tanzania, and he will be back hopefully with lots and lots of adventure to share with us. If not, I will see you next week, folks. I will see you in 2019, that is. Have a great rest of your evening, and be safe.